That's part of it. And with what Brother Joe shared tonight, if God has been speaking to us, and we have said no, not tonight. We may even have gone to the extent to say, I'll do it when I get home, or I'll do it tomorrow. I'm here to tell you tonight upon the authority of the Word of God. If you take that attitude, and Jesus doesn't, the Holy Spirit doesn't convict you tomorrow, you won't come. The only time that we can come to Jesus is when He draws us. That's the only time. Not necessarily when we want to. If we don't meet God's condition, we won't meet it. We'll miss out. So I'd like to encourage you tonight with Brother Joe. If the Holy Spirit, through the Word of God, convicts you about something, you better move. Because it's the only time that you can get right with God. That to me is sobering, because I think back on my own life, my own experience. And I think back of the times that I was convicted and I said, no. Well, what will my friends think? What will these people think? And you know, I go through that even in services today. Sometimes the Lord lays it on my heart that I need to confess something. And I think, what will people think? Tonight, I'd like to say, what does God think? When you leave this earth, when they put you into the grave, and your spirit goes to glory, goes to God, it's going to be between you and God. There's not going to be any room for the fact that, well, my friends said it won't be that way. It's going to be alone with God. Turn with me this evening, your Bibles, to St. John chapter 14. I'd like to talk about heaven tonight and some about hell. And I'd like to paint a picture of heaven tonight that we just simply couldn't resist but do what God asks us. You know, people travel long ways to see beautiful lights. Back home, I'm not sure how far it is, they usually have the Christmas lights. People drive many miles just to see beautiful lights. Oh, I'd like for us to see the light of heaven tonight. Jesus is the light. And I look forward to seeing Jesus. Now, I don't want to be selfish with my thinking. But tonight, there's more people that I look forward to meeting. Like someone has said, well, maybe the first 1,000 years will just praise Jesus. Let's not forget, there won't be years. It's eternity. It'll never cease. It'll never quit. I trust tonight I have 3 brothers in heaven. I have a sister there, I believe. My parents, I trust, are there. And you know, there's times that I'd just like to sit down and talk with Dad. None of my children are there. Some of yours are. My life's companion is not there. Some of yours are. And I can't imagine the longing. I know when my brother Omer was killed. Soon after that, I sat down to talk with Katie. And she said one of the worst things, one of her worst times is that after everybody goes home, and she'd like to tell Omer something. But he's gone. Never to return to this earth again. You know, we can't bring him back, but the Bible says tonight that we can prepare our hearts to go to them. Praise God! Let's look at Romans chapter 14. Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. And whither I go, you know. And the way, you know. Thomas saith unto him, Lord, we know not whither thou goest, and how can we know the way? Jesus said unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. As I look at that portion of Scripture, and I think of going where Jesus is, where God is. Dearly beloved, tonight, there's only one way. There's only one door that goes into heaven. And that is only one garb that we can wear to get there. And that's the garb that Jesus gives to us. It's not a matter tonight, do you have suspenders or do you have belts? I don't believe it's tonight whether you wear a hat or whether you don't. And we could go on and on. But we have people today that say, if you're not Amish, you're going to hell. If you don't drive a horse and buggy, you won't make it. If you don't do this or that, you know, you're lost. You get excommunicated, and the ban is upon you for the rest of your life here. And we fail to realize that Jesus only is the door. As John 10 says. Now, I'm not suggesting tonight that you can dress and live how you want to. I believe tonight, like our brother said this morning, if we have Jesus Christ, if we say we have faith, there's something going to follow us. And that's works. Faith without works is what? Dead. So I don't care what your mouth speaks tonight. You may go to communion service next Sunday evening and say you have peace with God. You may say, I have peace with my fellow man. I'm looking forward to communion. And all at the same time, your heart can be as filthy rags. The Bible here says that Jesus is preparing a place. And with what we read about Jesus in the New Testament, when I think of Him going and preparing a place, the Bible talks about the streets that are of gold. And a lot of things we could mention, but we'll leave it. With what Jesus did when He was here, and with what He did in your life and my life, as far as cleaning it up, when we come to the end of ourselves, He does His things right. And I believe heaven is going to be glorious. I don't want to miss it. I don't want to miss it. I really don't. And I'm glad tonight that I had an earthly brother that came to me and pleaded with me and tried to show me the way into glory. And I says, I'm not interested. I'd like to tell you tonight what brought me to the Lord Jesus Christ. My brother tried to get me from going away from the Amish youth to a youth group where they had Bible study and etc. I says, I won't go. He kept behind me, persistent. Finally, I said, all right. I decided in my mind just to shut him up once I go with him. Well, back there in those youth group days, there was I don't know how many youth group, maybe 50 youth people, maybe 15 or 20. And there was only like two or three cars. And when the boy came to pick up my son, my brother, there was already 8 people in a small amount. And we went out and I seen that car full of people. And guess what Sam did? Turn around and go back in. I'm not going with all those people. He got me convinced another time. Guess how many were in the car when they came around that time? Just the driver. So I went. And as I mingled in with those young people, this is what brought conviction to my heart that showed me that they have something that I don't. And I couldn't see their faith either. Guess what I seen? Their works. In that youth group, there was a boy, and some of you would know him. Abner, you probably remember of Yoni Ash. He was there. He wasn't now just what you would call mentally retarded. But there was a few bearings missing. There was a few dwarfs with that. And the Zooks were there, Abner. Man, the Zooks' children. They were a little different. But what I seen was, they were accepted as just everybody else. They had all things in common. And where I came from, those kind of people were made fun of. And I went home that night, and I was convinced that they have something that I don't. And then I started looking for it. Now my challenge tonight is this. Is your life, and is my life, as we go through this life, are we that testimony that people are looking in on the outside? They're looking where we're going. They're looking what we're saying. They're looking how we accept each other. They're seeing where we are, and because of what they see, they want it to the uttermost. Brethren, sisters, tonight, we can be that people, But my question is, are we? When someone, as you're going down the road, and someone drives out in front of you, that person may think, well, what for a maniac is back there? And he may come to the stop sign and see, oh, I'm surprised, that was Abner Kaufman. Excuse me for picking on you, Abner, but do you get the point, though? Do you get what I'm saying? Your testimony to that individual was probably didn't matter how many times that Abner would have witnessed to that person. When he's seen his impatience and his result of him pulling out in front of him, he probably said, well, I'm not too sure about Christianity. That may only be a small thing. All right, we need to go on here. Let's turn our Bibles to 1 Peter chapter 1. Looking in verse 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to His abundant mercy has begotten us again unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. Notice, brethren and sisters, to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled, that fadeth not away. And brethren, sisters, reserved for us. If you are a child of God tonight, if you're living for Jesus Christ, there is a place reserved in heaven that nobody's going to be able to fulfill outside of yourself. It's reserved. And brethren, it's undefiled. All we know in this earth is defilement, wickedness, and on and on. But this is undefiled. Reserved for you. And it's not like we go to a certain place and you know, a place is reserved for us to seat, maybe at a wedding or whatever. And the next wedding we may go, if we are the parents of this child that married, you know, we get the front seat, so to speak. If we're just a friend, we'll probably sit halfway back. And if we by chance get invited because we're a neighbor, we might sit in the back. Not so with God. The place is reserved. The place is undefiled. And it doesn't go away. It doesn't change. You are going to be there. Oh, I praise God tonight. You know, we're kind of curious people. I've said already with some of the difficulties that I have, I just like to go to heaven. I just... And yet, if I'm honest with myself, I'd like to be here a while yet. So what really do I want? What really do I want? And I think somehow, brethren and sisters, if we could get our eyes off of our earthly possessions, off of our earthly things, and we would think more about the beauty of heaven and our relationship with God there, And it's going to be forever. It's not going to be defiled. There's not going to be no night there. There's not going to be any pain, no suffering. There's going to be a new song that God gives us, I believe. There's going to be joy. There's going to be peace. There's going to be happiness. There's not going to be misunderstandings. Brethren and sisters, if I could somehow look upon that, I would lose the desire to stay here. There was this man that died. He was an ungodly man. The day of the funeral, he had a boy that worked for him. The day of the funeral, the preacher did what Brother Joe was talking about. He tried to preach him into heaven. He told the congregation how good a man he was, and that today he is in heaven. After the service, the little boy, I don't know what age he was. I say little boy. Could have been 10, 12, I don't know. He went up to the preacher and he said, "This thing about my boss being in heaven, I don't think so." "Oh, yeah," the preacher said. "He believes that God somehow forgave him for the things that he'd done, and etc. and so forth." Well, the little boy said to the preacher, he said, "Well, it's like this. My boss took a lot of trips. But before he left, he always talked about where he's going, who he's going to meet when he gets there, and what he's going to do." He said, "Preacher, I never heard him say that he's going to heaven. I never heard him talk about heaven. I never heard him talk about such a beautiful place as what you said. And this Jesus that he's going to meet." He said, "I don't think he went there." But you know, we're living in a day and age. We want enough of Christianity to get by. We now want enough of Bible reading just to say that we read the Bible. We want enough of prayer just to say we prayed. And then when we die, we want someone to preach us into heaven. Dearly beloved, I believe this evening from the bottom of my heart, if Jesus is not Lord of my life here, He won't be there either. Now, I'm not God. And I know we make a lot of mistakes. And I know the Holy Spirit is faithful. And He speaks to my heart. And at that point, I have a choice. And I believe that's where it makes the difference whether Jesus is on my side or not. In heaven tonight, the Bible tells us in Matthew chapter 25, there will be angels, holy angels there. I don't know how an angel looks, but they were created by God. And Jesus says they're holy. They must be glorious. But at the same time, He says, "Be ye holy as I am holy." How holy are you tonight? Sin will not enter in this beautiful place. Sin is going to be marred on the outside. How holy are our lives tonight? How much sin do you think you can get by and still get in the door? It's awful quiet tonight, and it needs to be quiet. If God speaks through His Word, we better listen. Let Him talk. Holiness, it's a part of heaven. The Bible says tonight in Hebrews chapter 12, in verse 14, follow peace with all men and holiness. What's the rest? Shall see God. Follow peace and holiness with the brethren at Bedford. No, that's included. But it says all men without which no man, including you and including I, shall see God. I ask again the question, how holy are we? Where are we tonight? Let's forget a little bit about the people on the outside. Let's consider the brotherhood here tonight. Are you at peace? If God would call you home tonight, could He receive you in such a way that you were at peace with everybody in the church? Well, you may say that's almost impossible because we don't think alike. You know, my brother, he thinks this way about this certain thing. It may be eschatology. And I'd like to say tonight, Jesus is coming again. You may think it's going to be a certain way. A brother over here will say, no, no, no. It's going to be this way. And you get to where the place where you open up the Scriptures. And I've discovered when I listen to people talk about those things, they're taking the same Scripture and they're interpreting two different ways. And I say tonight, somebody's wrong. And I would be very prone to believe that they both could be wrong. I was listening to a subject, a couple brethren talk about eschatology. You might know them tonight. One of them isn't here anymore, Yost Miller. Sure that some of you know Yost Miller. The other person was William McGrath. Far as I'm concerned, both men knowledgeable of the Scriptures. But they didn't agree by a long shot. I was listening to that conversation, and I'm not too sure if there wasn't a little bit of neck back here starting to get red. I mean, they were at it. Finally, I couldn't stand it anymore. I said, brethren, can I say something? Oh, yeah, go ahead. I said, did you ever think about the fact that you both could be wrong? And then what? Well, William McGrath said, yeah, I've thought about it, but I think I'm going to be the closest right. Back again where he wanted to be. And I say tonight, we have brethren in our churches that are almost killing each other about different subjects, eschatology may it be, while the time, instead of discussing, trying to figure out how He's going to come and when He's going to come, when the Scripture already says we don't know, we better be on our guard, and we better be have an open Bible, and we better be representing Jesus. So that when Jesus comes, however that may be, that our people are ready to go. Now, I was told very bluntly, though, you need to study eschatology. I'm not saying you shouldn't. I've never done a whole lot of it in my life because of what I've seen it does to other people. And I've decided many years ago, my business is to get him converted, then however he comes, they're ready to go. And by the way, if you're so strong in eschatology, and it's not going to happen how you said or think, what are you going to do? Stay behind? Or are you going to change your mind at that point? And it could be, you know, a lot of this thing coming back to the fact that we need to be at peace amongst ourselves. And it may not be eschatology tonight. It can be, I am surprised how little things get within a brotherhood and literally tear them apart. Brethren and sisters, we're living in a day and age. If I don't quite agree with what you do, and I have four people in the church that think the same way I do, we're out of here. God help us. The Bible says we need to confess our faults one to another that we may be healed. It doesn't say that we need to stand on things so that we get divided. The Bible, remember the first verse that I quoted the first evening. If my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear and I will heal. There is healing for the church of God today. But it says every one of us dies to self and lifts up Jesus and wants to honor Him. That's where we find it. And that's what we're going to have, according to the Scripture, if we want to go to heaven. I'm not going to ask you for the raise of hand. But if I would, I'd ask you, who is here that doesn't want to go to heaven? I don't think there would be a hand raised. And then I'd like to ask the question, who is here that is willing to do what it takes to make things work so that we can go together? You know, the Bible speaks tonight about heaven. There's going to be joy unspeakable, full of glory. Oh, we have some happy times. You may have a birthday and the family comes home and there's joy. I'd like to say tonight, my dearly beloved, that is no joy compared to be in the presence of God and all the saints. Oh, friends, tonight, I don't want to miss it. I really don't. So I want to try by the grace of God
to live the Word of God. It's my only hope. It's my only hope. My God loved me so much that He gave His Son, that He died on that cruel cross so that I can go to heaven. And if I am here and I'm just not willing to die to self, I'm going to lose out. I won't make it. It won't be for me. The Bible tells us in Psalms chapter 16, there's going to be pleasures for how long?
Evermore.
Forevermore. Brethren, sisters, we're living in a pleasure-seeking age. And as I follow after that pleasure, as you follow after that pleasure, it lasts for so long and then it's gone. Let's engage in pleasure tonight that it will last forever without stopping. Oh, what people don't do today for pleasure seeking. What they don't buy for pleasure. Where they don't go for pleasure. And after the day of fishing's over, it's all done. Money spent, money gone. No souls won, no souls witnessed to. Seemed almost like a vanity. Now again, don't go and say that Sam said it's wrong to go fishing. That's not what I'm saying. But I'd like to say tonight, there may be things that we can do with our families that can be pleasure and yet at the same time be upbuilding in our Christian lives. For example, what is it when you take your family and you go camping for a couple days? Yes, it's pleasure. That it is. But I've found it that it can be very, very strong in building relationships as well. I was flying when I was a number of years ago. And my second of my sons, when I was flying, he started taking me out Friday mornings for breakfast just to give me something to do, get my thinking on something else. I'm not quite sure. And is that about 2 years? Something like that. Close to 2 years. 3 years. Guess what? If I would have been at home on Friday morning, guess what I would have done? I would have gone to the restroom with my son. Almost 3 years, unless there was something that came in the way, my son and I went out for breakfast. It started back there. We enjoyed it. We enjoyed the fellowship. He had questions for me. I have questions for him. We discussed Scripture. You may say that's pleasure. Well, there's room for some things like that if it builds up the Christian life. But the pleasures that most people seek nowadays, it's fun. That's a word you hear. Well, it's fun. For how long? Only for a few hours. And then it's gone. But when we get into the things of God, it's forever. The Bible this evening says there are two roads. There is a straight road and there is a narrow road. And tonight you are on one of those roads. Those two roads lead in two separate directions. One goes to heaven, the other goes to hell. And I'd like to say tonight very vividly, you are, whether you want to or not, you are on one of those two roads. Now, if you're a son of God tonight, if you have been washed in the blood of the Lamb, and you have been cleansed, you have confessed your sins, you're living a holy life, you're severed from the world, you're on the narrow road. But tonight, if you are still hanging on to some sins in your life, you're making people believe you're a Christian. You're making people believe they're all right. I'd like you're all right. I'd like to tell you tonight, God hates a hypocrite. Take, for example, Acts chapter 5 of Ananias and Sapphira. I ask the question tonight, you tell me, what was the sin of Ananias and Sapphira? Tell me. Speak more. The sin of Ananias and Sapphira was this. When they were asked whether they gave all the money that they sold their land for, they said yes. But they kept back part of it. And mind you, the way I understand that scripture, they were not necessarily required to give it all. But they made the people believe that they did. They were a hypocrite. And they fell over dead because of it. And I'd like to ask you a very sobering question tonight. If God, in the year of 2009, in the town of Bedford, in a church house where we are, if He would operate and respond the same way as He did with Ananias and the fire, I'm wondering tonight how many people would fall over dead because of their hypocrisy. Making the church believe they are something that they're not. That's all that they've done. It's all that they've done. Brethren tonight, sisters, this life is serious. This life is serious. It really is. Well, when we get on that narrow road, I'd like to remind you tonight, there's no room for lust on your backpack. It's going to push you off the road. There's no room for bitterness tonight. It's going to push you off the road. There's no room for hypocrisy tonight. There's no room for pride tonight in your backpack on that road. It's going to push you off the road. There's no room for lying on that backpack. It's going to push you off the road. Pleasure. It's going to push you off the road. So I say tonight, my dearly beloved, where are you? Where is your life? How much garbage are you carrying around, thinking nobody knows? And we forget, like we said the other evening, that God sees in the dark as well as He sees in the night, in the light. We told you the other evening that He's beholding, He's looking on. He sees everything that we do, whether it be good or whether it be bad. And it's by our works that we're going to be judged. What is our life? All right, just Can someone tell me what time it is?
10 after 8.
I'd like to switch gears a little bit. If I couldn't convince you tonight of the glory of heaven, maybe I can scare you into it and talk about hell for a little bit. Is hell real tonight? Boy, that was weak. Do we believe that if we are not born again and we don't have the things under the altar, the blood of Jesus Christ, and we're still carrying pride and lust and bitterness and envy and all that, that there is another place prepared? Amen, it is. It's called hell. And I marvel what the Bible says about hell. It's a lake of fire. It's a fire that will never cease. Now, I was a welder for 30 years. And I know what it's like to put a torch on a piece of metal and through my ignorance go and try and pick it up. Ow! That hurt. And it left a mark. It hurt for a couple days. But I'd like for you to consider tonight how it would feel like in a flame, in a lake of fire, not only for a few seconds, but throughout eternity, wailing, weeping, gnashing of teeth, not being able to get out, but be there as long as eternity is. Oh, friends, tonight, when I think of that, when I think of that fire tonight, I just think I have friends that are not Christians tonight. There's probably family that is not Christian tonight. And you know, I'd like to ask myself a question tonight. What am I doing about it? When was the last time that I sat down with my friendship, with my relatives that were living in sin, and tell them about Jesus? I think of my brother. He came to me again and again and again. I feel so condemned tonight. I'd just like to pray. God, I'm sorry for the many times that I had opportunities to witness to people, to tell them about you. I just ask you that you would forgive me. And God, may your grace be sufficient, and when I have opportunities, that I may boldly speak for you. Thank you, Father, for forgiving me, and I trust you that you will lead me from here. And you, I want to open myself as a mouthpiece for you wherever you want me to go and whatever you want me to say. Just commit it to you in Jesus' name. Amen. Brethren, tonight, every moment, there are people, they're going to hell. They're experiencing that fire. Could it be tonight that some of those people that are going there are because you were ashamed to speak for Jesus? Could that be possible tonight? I want to think not, but yet I know it could be possible. I don't know where I would be tonight if someone would not have taken the opportunity to talk to me about Jesus. Brother Joe reminded us of the rich man and Lazarus. That man had everything that he needed. Lazarus had nothing. The rich man died and was buried, the scripture says. Lazarus died a little bit later. And he was carried by the angels of God to his destiny. All we have about the rich man is he was buried. But then, as Brother Joe said, when he was in that place of agony, the Bible says, in hell he lift up his eyes. Most preachers tonight quote that wrong, and it makes a difference. I hear more preachers, when they preach about that subject, they say, in hell he lifted up his eyes. That's not what the Bible says. It's singular. If he would have lifted, it would make it that it's a thing of the past. But the Bible says, in hell he lift up his eyes. And I believe he's still doing it tonight. If he would have lifted him back there, we could think it was once and done. But it's lift, singular, still doing it. Oh, it's kind of interesting. After that, he was experiencing what he was, that he became mission-minded. He thought about his brothers. Oh, Father Abraham, send Lazarus back there to my brethren, that they don't come to this place of torment. As Brother Joe reminded us, it was told him they have, what, and the prophets, what's the other word? They have
the law and the prophets.
They have the law and the prophets. Oh, no, no. But if Lazarus would go, and he'd go from, if he would rise from the dead, and he'd talk to them, why, surely they would repent. He said, if they don't hear the law and the prophets, they won't hear anyone that rises from the dead. Tonight, I'd like to bring that home. I can tell you tonight what the rich man was experiencing. While the Bible says he was in the torments of fire, it was fire with brimstone. It was an endless place. I can tell you that. And you may say, well, I don't really know. Now, if someone would come from there, and he'd walk in here tonight, and he'd get up here in front of you and he'd say, I come from there and this is how it is. Brethren, tonight the Bible says, if you don't believe me, when I read it out of the Scripture, you wouldn't believe someone that came from there. Somehow, sometimes we may say or think we would. Who believes tonight that the Bible is truth? I do. Is that not what it says? Does it mean what it says? Why, of course, it means what it says. We've heard a little bit the first evening, I believe it was, about the prodigal son. How he was a rebellious young man. He took his way. He was probably bitter at the family. Probably envied his brother. Probably hated them all. And he went out. He lived his life. But he got tired of it. To the point that he returned. He made his things right with his father. And I believe was accepted by God. Where are you on that pathway? Are you still running tonight away from home? Are you still running tonight away from truth? Saying, I don't want it. I'm not ready to give myself under authority. I marvel. We are living in the day and age
that I never dreamt that I would see the fact that authority is being treaded under. It's in the home. It's in the church. It's in the community. We are living in a day and age where people do not like authority. Well, I don't know where you are tonight as far as that young man is concerned, the prodigal son. I don't know if you're at the phase where you're thinking, boy, I'm going to get out of here. Or I don't know if you're in the phase in that life where you're going away from home. I don't know if you're in the phase of life where you're down there in the pig pen enjoying it. I don't know if you're in the phase of life where you're looking back and you know the joy that could be yours if you'd be a child of God. I don't know which phase you're at tonight. If you're at the phase where you're saying, well, once He gives an invitation, I'm going to go forward. But I'd like to say, with all those phases, wherever you are, you're still not where God wants you. Until you come to the phase where the young man says, I will go. And he went. And he was received by the Father. He was hugged by the Father. Father didn't see his sin he was in. He didn't see the rebellion that he had when he left. He didn't see where he came from the pig pen. He probably didn't even smell him. All that he seen was his son. And he came home. Tonight I'd like to remind you, I'd like to plead with you, that's Jesus Christ. He's not asking before you come tonight that you go home and take a shower. He's not asking tonight before you come that you change clothes. He's not asking tonight before you come, and I used to do these very things before my early Christian life. I used to have a pack of cigarettes in here, and I forgot when I went to my Christian friends that they would see it. Ignorant as I was. He's not asking that you throw those cigarettes, so to speak, outside before you come. All He's doing is saying, come unto Me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden. I will give you rest. Take My yoke upon you and learn of Me. David said this way, he said, search Me, O God, and know My heart. If God has been searching your heart this week, if God has been searching your life tonight, and He showed you some things, He showed you the glory of heaven, He showed you what you need to do to get there, and you haven't yet done, He's saying, come. Come. I'll receive you as you are. Shall we pray? Heavenly Father, heaven, Lord, You've showed us that heaven is so beautiful. So pure, so holy. It's in Your presence tonight that You want us to come. Heaven is a holy place. Heaven is lovely. And we could, on a very small scale, just bring out tonight what heaven is. But God, tonight I don't want to miss. I really don't, God. And I ask that You would search my heart, Lord. Just show me if there's something in my life that needs to be corrected. And I pray, oh God, that you would do the same under the people of the sound of my voice. We're aware tonight that your Bible tells us that the only time we can come to you is if you speak. So God, I pray tonight that Satan would be bound, that he would not hinder the meeting this evening, and that if there's someone here that has something in their heart they'd like to share, confess, whatever, like to make right with you, right with the brother, right with the sister, God, may Satan be bound and may the Spirit of God have its way. Lord, to you be the praise and the glory. In Jesus' name, amen.